Let's wait. Okay, Rabbeinu, let's learn. I'd like to discuss this morning the relationship between Purim and the Lechem HaPanim, the showbread, the 12 loaves of bread that the Torah describes. Okay, let's start with the Yom Tovim in general. There are two main places where the Torah goes through the calendar year and tells us about the Yom Tovim. One is in Parshas Emor, and one is in Parshas Re'eh. We also get a quick synopsis of the Shlosh Regalim in Parshas Mishpatim. So if you look in Parshas Emor, Mamish goes through the whole calendar. Source number one, Vayadaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber El B'nei Yisrael, Va'amarta Aleihem, Moadei Hashem, Ater Tikru'u Osa Mikroi Kodesh, Eila Heim Moadei. These are the holidays. And it begins with the root of all of the Moadim, which we don't think about it as the root of all holidays. Chaver, what do you think the root of all holidays is? Shabbos. It starts with Shabbos. Shabbos is the root of all of the holidays. And then after Shabbos, from which all the Yom Tovim emerge, Or Gedaliah has a beautiful essay about that, I think by Yom Kippur. So from there we come to Pesach, and then it talks about the Omer, and then it talks about Shavuos, and then it talks about Rosh Hashanah, and then it talks about Yom Kippur, all Keseder, exactly what you would expect, and then it talks about Sukkos, and then it talks about Shmini Atzeres. That is the 23rd chapter of Vayikra, Parshas Emor. And then you open up Perachav Dalid, and all of a sudden, look what we find in source number two. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimur Tzavis B'nei Yisrael, V'yikru Eilecha Hashem En Zayizach Kasis Lamaor. We learn about the menorah, preparing fresh olive oil for the menorah, La'alos Ner Tamid, to arrange the menorah, Michutz LaParocha Sa'idus Ba'al Moed, we set up the menorah, Me'erav Ad Boker, Chukas Olam Lidor Seichem, Ala menorah tahor yaruch asaneos lifnei Hashem tamid. We have the menorah. What comes after that in pasuk hey? V'lakachta soles va'afisa oso shteim esrei chalos. You should take fine flour and you should bake it into 12 loaves. Each loaf shnei esronim yeachal haachas. V'samta osam shtayim arachos. You should make two stacks of 6 loaves each. Sheish ha'ma'arachas. Ala shulchan ha'tahor lifnei Hashem. On the holy shulchan, the pure and holy shulchan, which is before Hashem. And in addition to the 12 loaves, you have Lavona. You place some frankincense, Lavona Zaka. And then it says in Pasuk Ches, B'yom HaShabbos, B'yom HaShabbos, Yarchenu lifnei Hashem Tamid. Every Shabbos we change up the Lechem HaPanim. Meis B'nei Yisrael Bris Olam. And what happens to the loaves from that have been sitting on the shulchan for a week? V'haisala Aaron u'Levanov, the Kohanim eat the bread. V'achlu b'makom kadosh, ki kodesh kadoshim hula. Wow, ki kodesh kadoshim hula. Me'yishe Hashem chok olam, a very holy offering. It's called kodesh kadoshim. So, Chaver, the question is why after we go through the entire calendar year, Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, all of a sudden we learn about what? We learn about the menorah, and we learn about the Lechem HaPanim. Says the Rokeach, one of the great Rishonim, fascinating pshat. Samach Shemen Zayis L'Sukkos. You know why he talks about the menorah after Sukkos? Because Chevro, in the calendar year, what holiday comes after Sukkos? Chanukah. Remez L'Chanukah. Masuk is Ches Yamim. Just like Sukkos is 8 days, V'gomer Nesah Halel, Chanukah is 8 days. And we also say Halel, L'Hodos L'Halel. And then what comes next? No, Kislev, Teves, Shvadar. Holiday, Purim. Samach L'Menorah V'Lakachta Solis V'Afisa. Then it talks about baking bread, the Lechem HaPanim, the Shulchan. Remez L'Mishte Purim. What do you need bread for? Bread's for a Suda. That's right. Says the Rokeach, it's a reference to the Purim Suda. And of course, right after we learn about the Lechem HaPanim, the Torah goes on to describe the Mekalel, the blasphemer, the cursor. And he says, that's also a hint to Purim. As it says, Tzarech Sheyomer Arur Haman, as we're told, you're supposed to say, cursed is Haman. So we learn about a cursed individual after this hint to the Purim Suda, when we learn about the Lechem HaPanim. Okay? So the Pashup Pshat says, I mean, not the Pashup Pshat. The Pashup Pshat is that it's moving on to a different topic, right? But a deeper Pshat, why does it talk about the menorah and the Shulchan and the Lechem upon him after it finishes going through the holidays? The answer is it didn't finish going through the holidays. It's hinting to two other holidays, the two holidays the Rabbanon, Chanukah and Purim. Again, historically, Purim took place first, but in the calendar year, which the Pesukim are following, Chanukah is in Kislev, and it's followed by Purim, which is in Adar. The Menos Halevi, Rav Shlomo Halevi Alkevitz, the author of L'Chadodi. So he writes in source number 4 a similar thing. He says, the end of the first line, K'mosha matzasi kosuv k'sivas yedei ha-chacham. I saw in the writings of Moreinu Rav Yoshua Levi ben Alkevitz, V'zel Eshono, Amruzal, Minayin L'Chanaka U'Purim Min HaTorah. Where do we find a hint to Chanukah and Purim? Rabbinic holidays. Where do we find... You have to think about it like this. Like, think about it when the Torah was given. There was no Chanukah yet. There was no Purim yet. Purim would happen between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. Chanukah would take place in the midway point of Bayis Sheni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put everything into the Torah. To the point that we can look back and we could say, where is there a hint to Chanukah and Purim in the Torah itself? And he brings this idea. Lefisha b'parshas emor, achar siyam hamo'adim, his kirim b'remez. After we finish going through the calendar year, vayikra parachav gimel, we hint to Chanukah and Purim. Shemen zayezach is a remez to Chanukah, and the 12 loaves on the shulchan is a remez le'su'udas Purim, he says. It's a hint to su'udas Purim. He adds one more piece, which is a little bit unclear. If you go to the second to last line of source number 4, it says that when you bring the lechem upon him, when you put the lechem upon him, these 12 loaves, when you stack them on the shulchan, they're accompanied by what? By spoonfuls of levona zaka, pure frankincense, which is a spice. It's part of the ketores as well. So he says in the last line, he says, Targum mar dochi remez lemordechai. Now, why do I say that's not exactly right? Who remembers the Gemara? The Gemara says in Meseches Chulin, where is Mordechai hinted to in the Torah? And what's the answer? What spice? Right? B'samim Rosh, the first of spices of the Ketores, Mar Dror. Right? Mar Dror is translated in Onkelos as Mari Mer, it's a spice, Mer Dachya, which is pure, pure Mer. Mari Dachya is Mordechai. So it's actually myrrh, I think is how it's spelled in English. Myrrh, yeah, that spice is actually the one that hints to Mordechai. So here it's a little bit inaccurate when it says, oh, it says Lavona. It says spices. And the translation of Lavona Zaka is Mar Dachi. That's not true. The translation of Mar Dror is Mari Dachi. But since the Lavona is also part of the Ketores, a hint to a spice is a hint to Mordechai. Because Mordechai is Besamim Rosh. He's the head of all spices. Okay? So again, he's just finding another little remez by the Lechem upon him, by the Shulchan, to hint to Purim. Okay? So we see that the Rokeach already, one of the Rishonim, Rav Shlomo Halevi Alkevitz, about 500 years ago, they both came along and they said that we find a hint in the Torah, remez to Purim in the Torah, Minayin. And we find it in Parshas Emor. Okay? But let's go further. Because so far we've learned that the hint is that what? Oh, it talks about bread. And for a Purim Suda, you need bread. So first of all, in Halacha, it's not so clear that you need bread for a Purim Suda. If for some reason you don't like washing, you don't want to wash, it's obviously better to wash for a Purim Suda. When a person washes and makes a motzi, that's more of a Kviya Suda. But it's not absolutely clear, I'm just talking straight Halacha for a second, that you would absolutely have to wash for a Purim Suda. So Chiyuv to wash per se, to be able to have a Sudas Purim. Okay? But that's the remez that we understand so far. It talks about bread. It talks about bread on the table. Yes, we set a table and we put out bread. That's the Purim Suda. Okay, let's go deeper. Says the Chassam Sofer, both in the Torah Samosha and the section on Megillas Esther, as well as in the Chidushe Chassam Sofer on Shas, he says the following. I'm going to skip the pasuk that he's commenting on for a second. Just go to the middle of the first line, Isa Berokeach, because we just saw the Rokeach. The Rokeach explained, "Ki b'parshas emor achrei parshios hamo'adim." It says, "Savis b'nei Yisrael v'yichu shemen zayis zach," and that's meramis to Chanukah, which is a moed d'rabanan. And then after the Neiros, it talks about the lechem upon him. It talks about baking bread, and that's meramis al Purim. He says in the seventh line, Ulefi pshuto mifarshim, kipurim ha'ikar l'simcha ulemishta merumas bevelakachta soles. He says the pashut pshat, the way that we just saw in the Menos HaLevi, Rav Shlomo HaLevi Alkevetz, what is the hint of Purim with the lechem upon him and the shulchan? The hint is bread, a suda. That's the pashut way to learn it. Right? But the Chassam Sofer says, I want to go a bit deeper. V'chanukah ha'ikar l'hodus l'hadlik neros. Good, so that's neros. But he says, I think there's something deeper here. It's not just that lechem apanim is an example of bread, because you need bread for a meal, and Purim you're supposed to have a mishta, a suda. It's much deeper than that. Let's pause here in the Chassam Sofer for a second, and look at the Gemara that he's about to quote. Okay, go to source number 6, and let's learn the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. And now we're going to get a little bit deeper. When Ahasuerus is deciding what to do with his queen, it says that he turned to his advisors. Who were his advisors? Va'kor ve'lov karshna sheisarad masa tarshish meres marsana memuchan. He turned to his seven advisors, right? The sarei parasu madai. And he asked them, what should I do with Vashti? Says the Gemara in Megillah, very interesting Gemara. He turns to his advisors. Amar b'levi kol pasuk ze al shum karbanos ne'amar. Each one of the names of Achashverosh's seven advisors is a reference to what? To a different carbon. And the angels in Shemayim started to poke fun at each of these seven advisors, saying, these are advisors? Look, they don't do anything like the Jewish people do for their king. This is Achashverosh's trusted officials. It doesn't compare. They don't do anything for him. They give him bad advice. So for example, Karshana. Amru malachei asharis lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the angel said before Hashem, Ribono shel Olam, klum hikrivu lefanecha karim b'nei shana. Did they ever bring before you small animals, b'nei shana, first year animals, kederech shekrivu Yisrael lefanecha? Right? Did the nations of the world, karshana, karim b'nei shana, did they bring youthful creatures before you? Shesar, did they ever bring the shtei torin, the two turtle doves? Admasa, did they build you a Mizbeach Adama? Every one of the names alludes to a different aspect of a carbon. The last name on the list, of course, is Memuchan. Memuchan, where it's bolded. Klum heichinu shulchan lefanecha. Did they ever prepare the shulchan for you? Did they ever prepare the HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Klal Yisrael prepares the shulchan for you. But did the Umas HaOlam, did they ever prepare the Shulchan for you? Now, Mamuchan, we know, says the Gemara, Vayomer Mamuchan, Tana Mamuchan Ze Haman. Mamuchan is a reference to Haman. Which means that if Haman is the primary antagonist of the Jewish people on Purim, and the angels are saying, ah, Haman, Mamuchan, did they ever prepare a table? Did they ever set the table for you the way that Klal Yisrael set the table for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So says the Chassam Sofer, why are we attaching Haman to the Lechem Apanim, to the Shulchan? So you can say, it's like we just learned, yeah, the Purim Suda. There's something more. We have to think about it. Of all the Karbanos that we could have attached to Haman, when we're trying to say that each one corresponds to a different Karban, and it's a Taina against them, the angels say that they didn't offer Karbanos like the Jews did, why is Mamuchan, which is Haman, what's the connection between Mamuchan, between Haman, and the Lechem Apanim? What's the connection between Haman and the Shulchan? Rav Moshe Wolfson says, take the word Mamuchan and spell out the letters Mamuchan. Spell it out. Mem, Mem, Vav, Chaf, Nun. Let's spell it out for a second. How do you spell Mem? Mem, Mem. So that's 80, right? Mem is 40, Mem, Mem is 80. Okay? Another Mem is another 80. So we're up to 160. Vav. Vav Yud Vav is 22. So 160 plus 22 is 182. Chaf, Memuchan, Chaf. How do you spell Chaf? Chaf Pei is another 100, so that's 282. Yeah? And how do you spell Nun? Nun? Nun, Vav, Nun. So it's 282 plus another what? 106 is? 388, says Rav Moshe Wolfson, is Gematria Shulchan. Memuchan and Miloy. Memuchan spelled out is Gematria Shulchan. So say the angels before God, Klum Echinu Shulchan Lefanecha? Did they ever prepare a Shulchan for you? However, what does Haman have to do with the Shulchan? Again, other than the fact that we have a Purim Suda. That's what the Chassam Sofer refers to as what? Lefi Pshuto. That's the Pashup Shot. But on a deeper level, what does Haman have to do with the Shulchan? What does Haman have to do with the Lechem Apanim? If you go back up to the Chassam Sofer in source number 5, he quotes this Gemara in Megillah that we just learned. And if you go to the left column, in the third line, Va'amru kach, you see it? Source number 5, the left column in the third line. Back in the Chassam Sofer. Va'amru kach, kadei la'or zuchus al Yisrael. The angels were saying this in order to bring zuchus upon Klal Yisrael. Of course, Memuchan would be the first one to respond to Achashverosh, and Memuchan would be the one to get Vashti killed. V'yinei Memuchan hu haya hayoetz shenerger Vashti. This was the advisor, Memuchan, which is a code word we're saying for Haman, is the one who would get Vashti killed. V'hariga zo haysa yesod al hanes. And the death of Vashti is in many ways the secret of the whole miracle. K'mavur b'kasuv ki al yedei shenerga lakach hamelech es Esther. Right? It was through the death of Vashti, at the advice of Memuchan, he's the most significant advisor, he is Haman, that Vashti would be removed, Esther would come to power, and Klal Yisrael would be saved. And therefore, v'yofem merumas b'lechem ha'panim nes ha'purim ki memuchan shemora alechem ha'panim al yado ne'ergar Vashti v'naslanu nes gadol hazeh. Says the Chassam Sofer, since memuchan is the advisor who what? Who got Vashti killed. And Vashti's death allowed for what? For Esther to come to power. And when Esther comes to power, that leads to the salvation of Klal Yisrael. And when Klal Yisrael are saved, we make a party called the Purim Suda. So it makes sense that Memuchan should be the one to correspond to the Suda. That's why the angel said, Memuchan, did the nations of the world ever prepare the Shulchan and the Lechem upon him for you? There's got to be more. I mean, all he's telling us is that we should pay attention to Memuchan, of all of the 7 advisors, because Memuchan would be the one who helps us the most. Haman, a.k.a. Memuchan, who gets Vashti killed, brings about the miracle. So therefore, hinted to in Memuchan is what? Is the Shulchan, is the Lechem Apanim, right? And like the Rokeach said, the Lechem Apanim in Parshas Emor hints to the Purim Suda, so Kavaldik, it all ties together so beautifully. Come on, there's got to be more to the Lechem Apanim. Why is Haman connected to the Shulchan? Why is Haman connected to the Lechem Apanim? Why is Haman connected to the Lechem Apanim? What exactly are these Lechem Apanim? These 12 loaves of bread, 2 stacks of 6, 12 shvatim, what's going on? What is this? What's the Lechem Apanim? I don't know. We got to look around. We got to figure this out. Okay? What's the gematria of Hapanim? Lechem Hapanim. What's the gematria of Hapanim? This is my own. What? Okay, that's one way to calculate it. What if we did a mem sofit? How much is a mem sofit? 600. So how much is Hapanim?
746.
Hapanim would be 745. Okay? What's the gematria of Haman with a nun sofit? Hey, mem nun.
745.
Right? So there's a lot of Haman going on over here. Memuchan spelled out, says Moshe Wolfson, is gematria Shulchan. Haman, if you use the nun sofit as 700, is gematria haponim, lechem haponim, that's how we call it. Haponim is gematria 745. So what's going on here? We've got to figure this out. Okay? Do we find other hints that Haman is connected to the Shulchan or to the lechem haponim? I think we do. I think about this pasuk throughout all of Adar at Shal HaShudas. Because at Shal HaShudas, many Jews have a practice to sing Mizmor LeDavid 3 times. Right? Really, the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah discuss how you should really do that before every meal, to say Mizmor LeDavid, to thank Hashem for your food and your parnasa. But I always think, every Shal HaShudas, I think about this pasuk. What does the pasuk say? To me, it's clearly a Purim reference. Source number 7. Taroch lefanai shulchan neged sorirai. prepare the table against my enemies. Tzorer is an interesting word, no? Who's called it Tzorer? Three times he's called Tzorer HaYehudim. A fourth time he's called Tzorer Kol HaYehudim. When Esther calls him out, she calls him Ish Tzar VaOyev. Who is the Tzorer? Chever, it's Haman. So we say, Taruch Lefanai Shulchan. Set the Shulchan. Neged Tzorerai. Dishanta Vashemen Roshi. Maybe that's a Hanukkah reference, a little Shemen. And then Kosi Revaya is certainly a Purim reference. Right? Haman is called the Tzorer Kol HaYehudim. The pasuk says in Esther, in source number 8, Ki Haman ben Amdasa Agagi Tzorer Kol HaYehudim. So maybe you can even read the word like this. What? How do you read the word Tzorerai? Tzorerai is Tzorer Yud. Tzorer Yud, right? Yud is a Yehudi. Tzorerai means the Tzorer HaYehudim. That's what he's called. Tzorer Yud. The one who hates the Jews. So Taruch Lefanai Shulchan, set the table against Tzorerai. Against the one who's what? Against the one who plots against the Jews. I thought you could say the Shemen is maybe a Hanukkah reference. Kosi Revaya is a Purim reference. I saw in a sefer called Or Yitzhar by a Yid from Bnei Brak. He says Kosi Revaya. He thinks the Shulchan is the Shemen piece. But clearly it's a Purim Dikah Pasuk. I'll show you another one. Also, this one comes from the sefer Or Yitzhar. He says, the pasuk in Koheles also hints to this idea. Maybe not as clearly, but he quotes the pasuk in Koheles in the, not 19th chapter, there's no such thing, that's not right. It's not a correct reference. Where is this pasuk? Perek Yud, pasuk Aleph, or Perek Tes, pasuk Aleph? I don't have Koheles. Okay, it's pasuk Aleph of one of the latter proclam of Koheles. Shalach lachmecha al pnei hamayim. Shalach. Shalach is a little bit like Shulchan, but Shalach lachmecha. Send your lechem al pnei hamayim. So says the Or Yitzhar on Megillas Esther, a lot of Ramazim. He says, what's the gematria of al pnei?
240.
240, that's a malik. What's the gematria of hamayim?
95,
that's Haman. So send your bread al pnei hamayim. Al pnei is gematria malik, hamayim is gematria Haman. Send the bread against them. Send the lechem upon him against them. What does that mean? Send bread against them. Again, I get the pashup shah. When we defeat them, we're going to make a big party. We're going to have a big suda. Maybe the biggest suda we have all year round, no? I think the Purim suda is probably our biggest suda. No? Sometimes you have a really nice Shabbos meal. You have a nice Yom Tov meal. Right? But there's no suda we get into as much as Purim. No? Is there a more significant suda? Tell me if I'm wrong. Is there a more significant Suda? Where like the Suda is a big Inyan? No, I don't think so.
The Seder.
What? The Seder? Maybe. Maybe. Purim and Pesach, very much always connected. The two Geulas. Maybe. You could argue maybe Pesach. That's true. Okay, but it's certainly up there. Maybe tied in first place. Okay, or how about this Gemara in Megillah? Let's learn one more source. The Gemara in Megillah says in source number 10, why did Esther invite Haman to the party? Ma rasa Esther shazim nas Haman. Why did she need Haman to be there? Think about it for half a second. If she wants to tell Achashverosh that Haman's out to get her, why does she need Haman to be there? Why is she feeding him bread? Why is she making a suda for him? Rabbi Eliezer Amar pachim tamnalo. She was laying a trap for him. Shenemar yehi shulchanam lifneim lapach. Use the table as a trap. The shulchan, that's the trap for memuchan. That's what the angels taught us. Right? Memuchan, did they ever prepare a table before you? The table, the shulchan's how we defeat Haman. Rabbi Yeshua says, may base aviyah lamda. She learned it from her father's house. Now, of course, Esther tragically didn't learn anything from her father's house because she was an orphan. So Rashi explains, she learned it from her father's house, means she heard Jewish children saying this idea. Shenamar im ra'ev sonacha ha'chileu lachem. If your enemy is hungry, feed him bread. Again, who's the enemy? Who's the sonei Yisrael? Who's the greatest sonei maybe ever? Haman. Ish tzar va'oyev. A hater of Jews, feed him bread. That'll be his downfall. Use the lechem upon him. Use the shulchan against him. I saw over Shabbos, the Imrei Noam, the Rebbe of Jikov, in his writings on Adar, says that Lechem is Gematria Megillah, 78. But what's this connection? Why are we so busy with the bread? Again, al pi halacha, you don't necessarily even need bread for a purim suda. So why is the shulchan and why is the lechem upon him the antidote to Haman? How is this the way that we fight against Haman? It's not just we defeat Haman and we make a nice suda. That's very pashut pshat. But there's something much deeper here. We have to understand the sod of the lechem upon him. Okay? So chaver, let's learn the sod of the lechem upon him. What do you know about the lechem upon him? Tell me, what do you know about it? You know anything about it? Oh, we learned today already. It's placed on a shulchan, a golden table. It's two stacks of six loaves each. It has some Lavona Zaka, some frankincense on top. It's taken off on Shabbos after sitting there for a week and eaten by the Kohanim. What's unusual about the Lechem Apanim? Yeah? It stays fresh. The Chiddush, one of the big Chiddush of the Lechem Apanim, one of the miracles of Lechem Apanim, is that it stayed fresh the entire week. Take a look at source number 11. This is where Moshe Wolfson on Lag BaOmer. Purim and Lag BaOmer have a very deep connection, which we'll have to explore one of these days or years. Yeah, we know that the day of Purim is always on the same calendar date as Lag BaOmer from last year. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch says, At, Bash, right? We have a remez. Aleph and Tav go together. So Aleph, whatever day of the week Pesach is, Tav, that's the same day that Tisha B'Av is going to be. Beis, whatever day the second day of Pesach is, Shin is when Shavuos is going to be. And then the Shulchan Aruch brings the strangest of Ramazim. The Shulchan Aruch says Plag. You know what Plag is? Purim is the same day as Lag BaOmer, but Purim this year is the same day as the same day of the week as Lag BaOmer last year. There's a strange connection between Purim and Lag BaOmer. They're both very soda, you know, they're soda. Nichlas Yayin Yatzah Sod. Lag BaOmer, Rishon Bar Yochai, Secrets of Torah, Purim, Mashiach. There's a lot of secrets. They share a lot of secrets. I saw a great vart. We learned yesterday. We were learning yesterday how what? Three reasons why we don't say Hallel on Purim. What was Rav Nachman's reason? Kriyasa zo halela, right? That the kriyasa Megillah is the Hallel of Purim. So I saw in a sefer. You think it's a funny vart, but I think it's mamish such a deep idea. To work on it more. Kriyasa. The same day as what? As Kriyas HaMegillah is not Halela, but Hilula. Hilula Derashvi. It's the same day as Lag BaOmer, which we refer to as the Hilula Derashvi. Kriyasa Zo Halela. Kriyasa Zo Hilula. So there's a very deep connection between Rishon Bar Yochai, right, and Purim, Lag BaOmer, secrets, okay, mysteries. So let's look in Rav Wolfson, in his Sefer, Emunas Yitecha, on Lag BaOmer. What did Haman say about the Jews? When the Gemara says no one knew how to speak Lashon Hara like Haman, what was the most hurtful thing that Haman said about Klal Yisrael? Rav Wolfson explains. He quotes that Gemara that we saw a few moments ago. Again, Megillah Daf Yud Beis, Memuchan, is a Shulchan, Lachem upon him. And then he explains, Raka Inyan Hu, Shehaman Ta'an Yeshno Am Echad. Haman claimed there is one nation. V'leis Man Diyad Alishna Bishak Haman, and there's no one who knew how to speak Lashon Hara like Haman. Ki Haman ta'an she'ein achanami, ha'avos hakadoshim, u'b'neyem. Right? The avos, and maybe some of the earlier generations, they served Hashem kidabai. They served Hashem as is fitting, as is appropriate. Aval ata kvar nisyashnu Yisrael. But by now, the Jewish people have what? We've gotten stale, we've gotten old. Jewish people aren't so fresh anymore. Yeah, the bread is stale. The bread is old. Yashno am echad. Yashno means what? Yashen. Yashenim, right? It's both a lashon of old and a lashon of sleep. V'yashenim heim in a mitzvos, and they're sleeping from mitzvos. That's what Haman says according to the Gemara. Yashno am echad. The Jews are falling asleep. According to the Medrash, he was saying it about God also. Yeah, God is old. God's getting old. God's falling asleep. V'amitzvos nisyashnu. V'nizdaknu etzlam, and the mitzvahs have become old and stale by them. U'mekayimos sambalichius, and we do mitzvahs today, says Haman, and he's a little bit right, unfortunately, without any energy, without life. Ve'in v'hem od lachluchis, and there's nothing fresh, there's no life left. There's no life left to our mitzvahs. It's the same thing that, says Rav Wolfson, that the grandfather of Amalek, Dav Haman, I'm sorry. Amalek themselves said to Klal Yisrael, Asher Karcha Baderech. V'chein Asa Zekeinu Amalek, Asher Karcha Baderech. What's Karcha? Karcha is Lashon of Kriris. You Jews are cold. You're old. You're not warm, piping hot, fresh bread. You're old, stale, cold bread. Maybe even a little moldy. Valzeba mitzvas lechem apanim. So what does the lechem apanim say? Chever, what was the miracle of the lechem apanim? It stayed fresh, it stayed hot, it stayed warm. It could sit on that shulchan for a long time, and it stayed as fresh as ever. Laharos hefachza. So in response to Haman, now we start to understand, why is Haman the shulchan? Why is Haman neged lechem apanim? Because Haman's claim against the Jews is the Jews are old, the Jews are cold, the Jews are stale. So we respond by saying, no, all 12 are still fresh as can be. Ki hu ayud beis chalos keneged yud beis shvatim. Ha-michuvanim keneged yud beis tzirufei havaya. We have 12 loaves of bread. We have 12 tribes. We have 12 different ways we could arrange Hashem's name, yud kei vav kei, as we've spoken about in the past. And we would set up this shulchan, ayu orchem osa b'yom ha-shabbos. We would set it up on Shabbos. And when we take off the chalos from last week, kishayisira chalos ha-shabbos haba, nasa b'hanes, shayucham kayom hilacha. When the chalos were put on, and a week later taken off, they were still mamish fresh. Shadayin hayuchamim mamish. They were mamish hot. Kamo shayotzu ozmen atanur. As if they had just come out of the oven. Va'af al pi shal pi teva hayitzar chazman lishlot alayah. And even though the passage of time should have caused them to what? To spoil, to get ruined, lisyashin, lisapesh, mikomakum lo nasa kacha. But that's not what happened with the lechem upon him. So the response to Haman, who says, Jews are getting old, Jews are getting cold, Jews are getting stale, the response to that is what? Is lechem haponim, the fresh hot bread. V'zeh mara sheklal Yisrael ein sholeit aleihem hazman. So what does that mean? It means what? That the Jews are not bound by time. That's why the actual Purim miracle took place in a leap year. What is a leap year? It's time outside of time. It shows that we, the Jewish people, are not bound by zman. We're lamala min zman. We're not bound by mazel. Ein mazel li Yisrael. We live outside of the world of mazel. Yeah? Va'afilu kishinisarachu hadoros harbe me'avos. And even we're far, far away from the earlier generations, from the avos. But our bread is just as fresh as their bread. What's the gematria of lechem?
78.
Or? 78 says gematria Megillah. What else is lechem? If you use a mem sofit again. What's lechem? 638. You know 638? 638 is Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. 638 is Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. So Haman says, oh, the good old bread, that was fresh bread. The avos, they knew how to bring fresh bread to God. You bring stale old bread. You leave it on the table. You leave it out for a week. Right? But we say, no. Try our bread, Haman. Taste it. You'll see. It's mamish fresh. It's hot. It's warm. We're just as hot. We're just as fresh. We have what? We have the lachluchas literally means the moisture. Right? But it means that we're flowing like the avos. We're alive. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the way, is still interested in us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still interested in us. You know how the Lechem Aponim taught that to Klal Yisrael? Turn for a moment, please, to the Gemara that appears in Source 16. Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish. Chavi, you got to pay attention to who's talking to you in the Gemara. We're not so familiar with all the personalities in the Gemara, but Reish Lakish, I hope we know about. What was the personal story of Reish Lakish? A big Baal Tshuva. Reish Lakish was what? Was a robber. Reish Lakish used to ambush people on the road. Asher Kacha Baderech, Mamash Amalek. Reish Lakish was Chozer B'Tshuva, and he took his energy. How something that looks Tameh can be so pure, if you just understand it properly. The Gemara is discussing in several places in Shas. It's in Chagiga Chavav, it's in Menachos Sadivav, it's in Yoma. It's actually two times in Menachos. The Gemara discusses the ability for Kalim to become Tamei. And it depends how a kli is used. A kli that stays in one place can't become tameh. A kli that's transported, that's moved around, can become tameh. The same way that if our body is a kli, when we usually, when we stay in one place, when we stay put, we get ourselves into less trouble. When we start traveling around, all of a sudden, we start moving around, yeah, we start getting our hands into things that we shouldn't be involved with. So says Reish Lakish, "Mai dichsiv al shulchan hatahor." What does it mean when it refers to the shulchan? Again, the shulchan, like we learned in the opening psukim, back in Parshas Emor. The shulchan hatahor, the pure table. I guess that implies that what? That the shulchan could become tameh, impure. Miklal shu tameh. Right? That implies that it could become tameh. Va'amai, asks the Gemara in the third parak of Chagiga, discussing the laws of ritual purity and impurity. Why should it be able to become tameh? Kli eitz ha'asui lenachasu. Isn't it a vessel that just stays in its place? Ve'eino makabel tumah. It's lenachas. It's supposed to just stay put. It's not supposed to move around. You don't move around the shulchan atar. When do they move around the shulchan? Says the Gemara, says Reish Lakish, Elam alamed, listen to this. Shemagbiyin oso. When the Jews would come to Yerushalayim, Aliyah L'Regel, 3 times a year, they would lift up the shulchan, they would pick it up from its place. Umarin bo la'olei regalim lechem aponim. And they would show the lechem aponim. They would show the lechem aponim to who? To the olei regel, those who came up for Aliyah L'Regel. Va'omrim lahem, and what would they say to them? Ru'u chibaschem lifnei hamakom. Look how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. Why? Why did they take the shulchan? They had to lift up the curtain so that people could peek into the Kodesh to see the shulchan, and they would lift it up so the Jews could see it from a distance. You should see the lechem upon him. What am I seeing? You know what you're seeing, Chavra? What are you seeing? You're seeing that the lechem upon him are still fresh. You're seeing that even with the passage of time, something can stay fresh. Right? The lechem is not only the avos. The lechem is us. We can also stay fresh. Our bread can also stay fresh, even though it's been a long time. Right? But we can stay warm. We can be warm Jews, like the Baal Shem Tov used to give people a bracha. I give you a bracha, you should be a warm Jew. I told you once, the Chafetz Chaim said to his son, I feel like I've cooled off so much. And you're much, he said to his son, and you're cooler than me. Not cooler like cool. You're more cooled off than I am. And your grandson's even more cooled off. How far will the cooling go? Asher karcha baderech. How much is a malik going to cool us off? Yeah? Like how much schleppier could our shachars get? Those minchas where I barely know that I'm davening, like, what more could we do, or what less could we do, and still even kid ourselves that we're davening mincha? But that's the passage of time. Things cool off. Right? The chiddush of the lechem upon him is that it doesn't have to cool off. Things can stay hot. Says Rav Olson, going back to source 11, the top of the left column. He quotes the Gemara we just read. Shayu magbiyin ha-shulchan beragalim. They would lift up the shulchan on the holidays. Yeah? Shalosh regalim. Libnei Yisrael v'amur ru'u chibaschem lefnei ha-makom. Look, Yud Beis Shvatim. 12 names of Hashem, 12 arrangements of Hashem's name. Just like you can't erase one of Hashem's 12 names, so too you can't erase any of the Shvatim. It doesn't matter what your situation is. Hashem still believes that you're fresh and you're warm. That it's still possible for you to what? To be a good chashuva offering. And therefore we say to Mamuchan, we say to Haman, Klum echinu lefanecha shulchan. Hashem, we say really to Hashem, the angels say to Hashem, did Mamuchan, did Haman ever prepare a shulchan for you? The Jewish people are still warm. We're still on fire. Even in this latter generation, we're still strong. We're still warm Jews. All 12, it says. Just like, again, 12 shvatim correspond to the 12 arrangements of Hashem's name. Do you understand what I mean by that? Just to be clear, Yud, we spoke about it on Sunday, Yud, K, Vav, K, the four-letter name of Hashem. You could rearrange those letters in 12 different patterns. Every one of them is holy. Each one corresponds to a month. Each one corresponds to a Sheva. Just like you can't erase God's name, you can't erase any of the shvatim. They're all holy. All 12 loaves of bread stayed warm. Yeah? Chai, what's the gematria of lechem times 12? Let's do lechem times 12. How much is lechem, regular? 78, we said, right? So what's 78 times 12? Ah, nice, no? What's Lechem times 12? Lechem times 12 is 936. Okay? That's a great number, 936. 936 is a lot of things. First of all, 936 is the period in which we find ourselves. In case you don't think the bread is still warm, we're living in a period called what? The Ikvus of the Mashicha. The Svarim call it the Ikvus of the Mashicha. That means the last few steps we need to take along this long road that Amalek's been trying to cool us off upon. Asher Karcha Baderech. In the Ikvus of the Mashicha, the last couple of steps, Ikvus of the Mashicha is Gematria 936. So all 12 loaves are still mamish in their place after all of this passage of time. The Svarim also talk about 936 in the context of Purim, because Mordechai plus Esther is 935, with the Kollel, to put the two together, is 936. So Mordechai plus Esther is also 936. Okay? So Haman, you think you're going to poke fun at the Shulchan? Oh, look at this old, stale bread. You don't know anything, Haman. This bread is fresh. We have tzaddikim in every generation. We have Mordechai. It's not only the Avos. We have Mordechai, we have Esther. Yes, even in the Ikvus of the Mashicha, Klal Yisrael is still going strong. Yeah, the Shulchan is still Tahor. It's referred to again in the Pasuk as what? As the Shulchan HaTahor. As the Shulchan HaTahor. Go back to the Pesukim just on page 1 for a second. I want to show you something. Interesting how it referred to the Lechem Aponim as what? Take a look at this. Vayom HaShabbos in Pasuk Ches, in source number 2. Vayom HaShabbos, Vayom HaShabbos, each and every Shabbos, Yarchanu Lifnei Hashem Tamid. It's Lifnei Hashem. It's interesting because also, you know, Purim is connected to Yom Kippurim, which is also Lifnei Hashem Titaru. It's also it's a Yom Tov of being Lifnei Hashem. The Ishbitzer Rebbe says, you know how you stay warm? I heard this once from Rav Weinberger. You know how you stay warm? How do you stay warm in Avodas Hashem? It's very simple. If you realize what? Lifnei Hashem. If you stay Lifnei Hashem, if you're in the presence of Hashem, you'll also be a warm Jew. If you still believe that Hashem is out there, and as much in the world today as He was once upon a time, if you're Lifnei Hashem, you'll also be fresh. You'll get up different in the morning. You'll put on your tefillin in a different way. You'll make brachos in a different way. You'll daven in a different way. You'll learn Torah in a different way. When you're Lifnei Hashem, you stay warm. The Shulchan stays Tahor. The Shulchan HaTahor, it stays Tahor. What does the Pasuk say? It's Me'es B'nei Yisrael. It's a Bris Olam. Bris Olam means what? What does Bris Olam mean? What is a Bris Olam, Chevra? You know what a Bris Olam is? A Bris Olam means a covenant forever. Which means, yes, it's still possible today to have all 12 loaves. 12 times Lechem is Ikvus of the Mashicha. 100% we can still do it today. It's a Bris, it's a covenant. The Shulchan could become Tamei, it's true. But the Shulchan is called the Shulchan HaTahor. What's the Gematria of Shulchan HaTahor? Look at the Pasuk, Shulchan HaTahor. What's the Gematria of HaShulchan HaTahor? What the Pasuk calls it. And it's bolded in source number 2. HaShulchan HaTahor. How much is HaShulchan? 393. And how much is HaTahor, spelled without a Vav, as it's spelled in the Pasuk?
219.
What's 393 and 219? How much all in the Pasuk? How much? 612. What's 612?
Bris.
That's what the Pasuk says. This is a Bris Olam. The Shulchan Tar, the Pasuk calls it a Bris. Why are you calling bread a Bris? Because this bread represents the unbreakable bond between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. The Shulchan HaTahor. Ah, it could become Tameh. Can't really become Tameh. You know why we lift it up? You know when we move it? Just to display it for Klal Yisrael. Look how much Hashem loves you. It's a Bris Olam. Shulchan HaTahor is Gematria Bris. It's Lifnei Hashem what? What's the magic word? Tamid. Tamid. It says in the Pasuk, it says by the menorah, Tamid. It says by the Shulchan, Tamid. Tamid. The bread is Tamid, Tamid, Tamid. Tamid means forever. Bris Olam means forever. The menorah is called Chukas Olam. That's why Chanukah and Purim are the two Yom Tovim that are what? Forever. That even when Mashiach comes, we're going to continue to what? To celebrate these holidays. When a Jew looks like he's become Tamei, he looks deeper and he finds that he's Tahor. That's what Yom Kippur is and that's what Purim is. Go back to the Pasuk one more time. Look at the Pasuk again. Strange Lashonos, you got to pay attention to this. Who eats this bread? Aaron Ubanov. They eat it in a holy place. Ki Kodesh Kadoshim Hulo. Kodesh Kadoshim? What is this, Yom Kippur? Well, if it's Purim, then I guess it's also Yom Kippur. What's the gematria of Ki Kodesh Kadoshim Hulo? How much is Ki? 30. How much is Kodesh in the Pasuk? 404. How much is Kadoshim? 454. Who? 12. And Lo? 36. Ki Kodesh Kadoshim Hulo?
936.
There you go. It's Mamish right there. Yeah, that was, Hashem gave me that one easy. I said to Hashem, I was like, that, come on, that's like too good. That one was too easy. Baruch Hashem. You know the name of the family, by the way, in Maseches Yoma? There was one family that knew, the making of the Lechem upon him was very complicated. It's a whole sugya and menachos, right? Machlokas, we've shown him how you fold it, how you bake it. Very complicated. There was one family that knew the art, the secret art of preparing the bread. Anyone remember the name of that family? Well, you were nodding a lot, so I thought I was getting ready for you to know it. I wouldn't expect anyone to know it. The name of the family was the Beis Garmu, right? The House of Garmu. They're actually criticized for not teaching other people how to do it, how to prepare it. It was their secret, their family secret. Beis Garmu, Gimel Reish Mem Vav. Yeah, what's the gematria of Beis Garmu? The one family that knew how to make the Lechem Apanim. No, but it's another number that's just as good. How much is base? Bias? 412. And Garmu is how much? 249. No. What do you got? 661. Gematria Esther. Base Garmu is Gematria Esther. This is all a Purim story. The whole Lechem Apanim. The secret of Lechem Apanim. It's Mordechai. It's Esther. It's fresh bread. It's Haman said, oh, Yeshnu Am Echad. Oh, they're getting old. Klai, so God's getting old. The Jews are getting old. Hashem's love for us is fresh. Our love for Him is fresh. And everything's just as strong as it always was. Says Rav Wolfson in the last paragraph in source number 11. V'zeh hera ha'nes shal Purim. She Yisrael be'ez ha'matzav shehem adayin chavivusa gabon. Whatever matzav we find ourselves in, Hashem's chavivus, Hashem's love for us is still strong. Ve'ein hazman sholet aleihem. The Jewish people are lamalim in hazman. We're not affected by the passage of time. We're able to be bigger than time. Ve'ein ha'ava beinam u'bein ha'kodesh baruch hu misyashin. And the love between us and Hashem never gets old. It never gets old. Okay? What happens right after the Lechem Apanim? So we already saw in the Rokeach. What's the scene in the Torah right after that? Someone comes along, a blasphemer. The Rokeach said, the cursor, that alludes to what? What did the Rokeach say? It alludes to the fact that we have to say, Arur Haman, cursed is Haman. But it's a drop more than that. It's a drop more than that. Who was this blasphemer? Take a look at the Pasuk in Amor, in source 12. Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis, v'hu ben Ish Mitzri. A mixed breed. Son of a Jewish woman. His father was an Egyptian man. Besoch b'nei Yisrael. He goes out amongst the Jewish people. Vayinatzu b'machaneh. And he starts a fight. B'nei Yisraelis v'ish ha-Yisraeli. A big fight breaks out. What was the fight about? What was the fight about? So if you take a look in Rashi. Rashi says. Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis. Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis. Mehechan yatza. Where did he come from? Where is he going out from? Rabbi Levi Amar Me'olamo Yatza. He went out of his world. He ruined his life. He's about to get killed for this. Rav Brechia says, you know what he was so angry about? What was he running around cursing about in the camp, starting picking fights with people? What was he so angry about? Rav Brechia says, Mi Parsha Shalamala Yatza. He's angry about the thing that was spoken about in the Chumash just before this. What was the Parsha right before he started cursing? The Lechem upon him. Ligleg v'amar. Bayom Shabbos yarchenu. What? You serve God week-old bread? Derech ha-melech lecho pas chama b'chol yom. It's the way of a king to what? To eat hot bread. Fresh bread. Oshema pas sonenes shaltisha yamin bitmia. Should God eat bread that's what? That's so old? 9 days old? What didn't he understand? What didn't he understand? He did not understand that the bread stays fresh. And again, like the Rokeach said, who is the cursor? This is an allusion to Haman. Cursed is Haman. Who actually was this child? Who's his dad? An Egyptian dad? A Jewish mother? The Pasuk says what? His mother's name is Shlomis Bas Divri. Lamate Don. Let's finish the Rashi. Rashi says he came out of Moshe's basin and he wanted to place his tent in the camp of Don. Chevre, if you remember the shir about the number 54, and you remember how Shevet Don is the lowest and the worst of the tribes, yeah? This Jew, who was born from an Egyptian father in Mitzrayim, which Egyptian father? You know, Egyptian. You know which Egyptian? The Egyptian that Moshe killed. Remember that Moshe killed and he buried him in the sand? Who was that guy? Who was he? He was the one who impregnated this man's wife. Her name was Shlomo Bas Divri. She was from Shevet Dan. Now her son comes along and says, I want to put my tent with the rest of Shevet Dan. So they say to him, No. You're from before Kabbalah Satorah. It goes, Father, you're a mitzvah. You're not Jewish. You're not part of the camp. So he says, come Shevet Dan. They're a bunch of sinners anyways. I'm at least as good as them. And we say to him, No, you're not. You don't understand. That the bread that looks the least Shevet Dan, always involved in Avodah Zarah, bad stuff, right? Remember all the things we learned about Shevet? You're not allowed to join Shevet Dan. You're not allowed to join Shevet Dan. Shevet Dan, again, corresponds to Chodesh Adar. Right? Again, it's a reminder that no, Klal Yisrael are different. Our bread is different. Our bread is different. It stays fresh in a totally different way. Yeah? The Yaros Dvash, Rav Yonasan Aipshitz, even says that Haman was actually a Gilgal of that Mitzri that Moshe Rabbeinu killed. I'm not going to go into that right now, but you should just know that that Egyptian that Moshe Rabbeinu killed, whose son is now trying to join Klal Yisrael, no. You're not one of us. Right? So what do you see in Rashi? On the one hand, he's poking fun of the Lechem upon him. At the same time, he says, I'm at least as good as Shevet Dan. It's mamish, it's all Purim things, based on what we learned the last couple of months. Okay? But however, the essence of the Lechem upon him is the word Tamid. Just 5 more minutes to this year. Yeah? Is the fact that the Lechem upon him is always described as Tamid. Again, Tamid means always. Tamid means forever. Tamid means something that can't be changed. And again, that's why we lift up the Shulchan and we show Klal Yisrael that Hashem's love for us is forever. Okay? Let's wrap up with maybe 2.5 more points. Turn to source 17. This is a wild idea. Fascinating idea. In the Hakdama to the Beis Yaakov from Ishbitz, the Ishbitz Rebbe, the Beis Yaakov, in his Hakdama to Bereshis, says something very, very unusual about the Lechem Apanim. The Rambam, we usually assume, was a rationalist philosopher, a person who had a very rational approach to Torah and mitzvos. The Mor Nevuchim explains mitzvos in a very practical way, to the point that the Rambam says that the Ketores, which is described by the Zohar as the most holy of offerings, the Rambam says, it's just air freshener for the Beis HaMikdash. Because there's all these dead animals, so you need something to spice it up a little bit. Rabbi Nachman said you shouldn't even learn the Rambam because he said something like that. On the surface, the Rambam is very much a rationalist philosopher who's criticized very strongly by the Gra for learning Greek philosophy. But there were tzaddikim who said the Rambam was really a closet Kabbalist. Okay? The Pashtus is the Rambam never learned Kabbalah. Alpipnimius, I told you, maybe we'll have that share one day, how the Rambam is filled with Kabbalah. I want to show you one example that the Beis Yaakov, the Ishbitz Rebbe, caught the Rambam on. Okay, look at this. When the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, his most rational work of Jewish philosophy, who talks about things related to the Beis HaMikdash, and he explains everything, and he takes some of all the, it seems like the Rambam is sucking the Pnimius out of it. What? The Ketores is air freshener? Who could say such a thing? Rabbi Nachman went crazy when he heard such a thing. Yeah? But even that has a Pnimius to it. Not for now. But says the Beis Yaakov, take a look, Surah 17. V'chein betamei mitzvos. When the Rambam in Perek Memhei of the third section of the Mor Nevuchim, shekosav tamei mitzvos hilchos beis habachira, where the Rambam goes through all the mitzvos of the Beis HaMikdash and explains what they're about. V'al kol mitzvos of kosav taimim. And for everything he gives an explanation. Uvehigia lemitzvas hashulchan velechem aponim. When the Rambam arrives at the shulchan and the lechem aponim, Kosov, Aval Shulchan, Vehayos Halechem, Alav Tamid, Lo Eida Bo Siba, Ve'eni Yodeya, Le'eza Dover, Ayaches Oso Ad Hayom. The Rambam says, I don't know what it's about. I don't know what it's about. The Ketores, you figured out. The Menorah, you figured out. The Kodesh Kodashim, you figured out. The Shulchan, you can't figure out. You couldn't say anything. You were willing to turn the Ketores into air freshener. You couldn't say anything. The Rambam says, the Lechem upon him and the Shulchan, I don't know what it is. I can't say anything about it. I can't give any explanation for it. Give an explanation. Give a reason for it. Give a tam. Tam ya mitzvos. Give us something. Valzeh hispala gam haradbaz. The Radbaz in his Metzudas David says, I don't get it. Shekefisha kosef hayachal lomar gam alechem upon him. Shemisham yotzei shefa mazon leolam. I don't know. Say it brings parnasa to the world. Say something. Why did the Rambam say, no, I can't talk about it. You know, in the writings of the Arizal, the lechem upon him is one of the biggest secrets. The biggest. Uve'emes kol haroa yispalim ma'od. Shekefi haroa sheyestapik b'tam k'tam. The Ram who used all these really small, weak explanations on every mitzvah. Lama lo hayayachol limtzot tam kazeh lelechem upon him. He couldn't say anything on the lechem upon him. What's the pshat? Say something. He says, it must be, says the Beis Yaakov, it's clear to me from this. Mizatzmo shekol tamav heima gam al pisod. From the fact that he couldn't explain this secret, it must be that everything else he explains is also secrets, even though it looks like simple, rational explanations. Rak b'shulchan v'lechem upon him. You know why the Rambam didn't say anything about the lechem upon him in the Shulchan? Hode v'lo bo shlomar she'eni yodeatam. He was not ashamed to admit, I don't want to say anything about this. You know why? V'gam ha'arizal. In the Zmiros that we say on Shabbos, the Arizal also said what? Yigali lon taimei. The betrayer Nahame revealed to us Hashem, the Arizal, who knew all the secrets. Davened, Hashem, please reveal to us. Megillah, Megaleh, reveal to us the secret of the 12 breads. One of the deepest secrets, the Arizal says, is one of the deepest secrets. So much so that the Rambam couldn't say anything about it. Chaver, you know what that sounds like to me? You know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like Ad Lo Yada. Sounds like something that can't be explained. Sounds like a sod, mishenichlas yayin yatsa sod. Sounds like a deep, deep secret. And now I understand a little bit more why the lechem upon him is so deeply connected to Purim. Because on Purim, the whole miracle, the Purim, is a goral. What is a goral? A lottery. Is a lottery a logical explanation? When you have a lottery and someone wins, is there a logic to it? Did he earn it? Does it make sense? No. But neither does Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael. Does it make sense? We didn't earn it. We're also lottery winners. There's even a medrash in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer that says Hashem picked Klal Yisrael from the nations of the world through a lottery, whatever that means. Yom Kippur, we have lotteries. Purim, we have lotteries. Lotteries means it defies logic. It's a deep secret. It's a ratzon. It goes beyond that which is logical. That's why in that sefer I mentioned a few moments ago, the Or Yitzhar, in Source 18, he explains to us, I'll just tell it to you outside. Think about the tefillah of Shoshanas Yaakov. What do we say? Baruch Mordechai HaYehudi. Yeah? And then what? Arur Haman Asher Bikesh La'abdi. You know what he explains? Why is Baruch Mordechai HaYehudi? Why do we like Mordechai? What does it say in Shoshanas Yaakov? Why do we like Mordechai? I don't know. It doesn't say. It just says Baruch Mordechai HaYehudi. Blessed is Mordechai because he's a Jew. Or Haman, we hate Haman. You know why we hate Haman? Because Asher, explanation, Asher Bikesh La'abdi, because he wanted to kill us. The Or Yitzhar explains we should really hate Haman the same way that we love Mordechai. The hatred of a Malik has to also defy logic, which is a very deep idea. But on a simple level, when it comes to explaining why Hashem loves us, we don't have to give a reason. Lechem upon him. We just hold it up and say, hold up the Shulchan on the regalim and say, Hashem loves Klal Yisrael. It's a pasuk in the Navi. Right? Its pasuk says that what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Yaakov. And then the Navi asks, but Esav is also a brother to Yaakov. No, but the love of Yaakov defies logic. Why does Rivka like Yaakov? Torah doesn't say, Rivka heves Yaakov. Why does Yitzchak like Esav? Ki, because Tzayid Bepiv. When it comes to the Esavs and Amalek, you always have an explanation. When it comes to the love of Klai, no explanation. Baruch Mordechai, Hayhudi, period. It's mamash like a lottery. That's why the gematria of Baruch Mordechai Yehudi is Pur Hu HaGoral. Because it's just a lottery. Like we learned yesterday. Pur Hu HaGoral. The whole thing is 542. Pur Hu HaGoral. Baruch Mordechai Yehudi. Period. No, give me a perish. The Rambam says, Lechem Apanim, don't touch it. Don't give me a bad explanation. Don't even give me a deep explanation. The Arizal says, don't touch it. Leave it alone. Lechem Apanim. Mamish the deepest. We don't try to offer an explanation. Ki kodesh kadashim hu lo, 936. It's mamish kodesh kadashim. We don't mess with it at all. So, however, let's do one final Gemara in source 20. The Gemara in Megillah, I'll say it outside because we've learned it before. We'll wrap up. The Gemara says, in Maseches Megillah, Daf Yud Beis, they asked Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the keeper of the secrets. Rabbi Shimon, tell us, why did the Jews deserve to be destroyed on Purim? So Rabbi Shimon says, you tell me. So he said, well, they went to the Suda of Achashverosh. Yeah. So Rabbi Shimon says, nah, that would only explain for Shushan. How do you explain for all the Jews? So they say, I don't know, you tell us, Rabbi Shimon. You're the one who's got all the secrets. So what does he say? Because they bowed down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. So they say, well, so if that's really true, so then why don't we actually kill them? Why did Hashem not kill them? What's the answer? Rabbi Shimon says, source 20, where it's bolded. Heim lo asu ela leponim. The Jews only acted what? On the surface. Afakadosh Baruch Hu lo'asimon el leponim. So Hashem also only did what? On the ponim. Fascinating word. If you think of lechem ha'ponim, lechem ha'ponim is ponim. Ponim is an interesting word, no? On the one hand, ponim is the face, it's the most superficial, but it's also panim, it's the most panimistic. Yeah, it's a strange word. It represents a certain superficiality, a certain lowliness. It also represents an unbelievable depth, a tremendously secret, hidden depth. So Klal Yisrael, when we looked our worst, to the point that there was a gezeirah, the worst decree that was ever held over our heads, you should just know that was only the panim. Because there's a secret called the Lechem HaPanim. And the Lechem HaPanim reveals that there's always a love that Hashem has for us. That the Shulchan is always what? It's a Shulchan HaTahor. So therefore, Chevre, Mishnechlas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. When Adar comes, we have Simcha. Haman, the Pasuk says, had Rov Oshro, had all of his money written on his heart. He was a rich, rich, rich person. But he was also a miserable person. As the Pasuk says in the final source, V'chol Zeinenu Shovali. None of it is worth anything to me when I see that Mordechai is Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech. All my money is worth nothing to me. Too bad, Haman. What's the Jewish attitude towards wealth? It says the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, source 22, Ezu Ashir HaSameach B'Chalko. You know what real wealth is? Simcha. Mishnech Las Adar Marim B'Simcha. We realize how rich we are. And Chever, you know how you become rich? The final source for today, source 21. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Gemar Bava Basra. If you want to get smart, turn to the south. If you want to get rich, Yashir, if you want to get rich, turn to the north. Yatzpin, turn yourself to the north. And the way to remember it is that the menorah, the light of the menorah represents wisdom, was on the southern side of the Beis HaMikdash. But the Shulchan, which represents bread, represents parnasa, money, is on the northern side of the Beis HaMikdash. Sheyashir Yatzpin. If you want to get rich, right, turn to the north. Look at the Lechem HaPanim, and then you're the happiest Jew in the world. Yeah, but I could use a few more dollars. Hold on. Think about Hashem's love for you. Ezu Ashir Sameach Bechelko. You're the Chelek Hashem. Chelek Hashem Amo. Chelek Elokam Imal. What are you not happy about? You could use a few more bucks. Turn to the north. Sheyashir Yatzpin. What's the matter of Yatzpin? Turn to the north. Focus on the north. 240, Amalek. You want to get rich? You want to defeat Amalek? Look at the Shulchan. Realize how lucky you are to be a Yid. Realize how lucky you are to be a Jew. Lechem HaPanim. Hashem's love for you never gets old. And our love for Hashem never gets old. You look at that Shulchan, which is where? On the northern side of the Beis HaMikdash. On the northern side, Shevet Dan traveled in the north. On the four sides of the Jews' camp. Shevet Dan is the one who traveled in the north. The lowest of the Shvatim. On the northern side. The Navi Yirmiyah says all bad things come from the north. But when you look with a deep eye, you realize that even in the north, Even Sheva Dun. Even bread that's been sitting around for 2,000 years of Gullus. Mamish still fresh, it's still warm, it's still energized. Yeah? So Mirtz Hashem, we should be Zocha. Kodesh Baruch Hu should help us to understand. Mamish, what an amazing secret it is. Yeah? Going back to what the angel said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Memuchan! Did they ever prepare a shulchan for you? Did they ever set up the lechem upon him for you? Right? Haman doesn't understand that at all. He thinks the very opposite. And therefore our response on Purim, the reason that in Parshas Emor, if it goes through the whole calendar here, it talks about the menorah, and then it talks about the shulchan. Because that's how we defeat Amalek, by recognizing that relationship with Hashem is tamid, is forever fresh. And Amir Tzashem, we should feel that in our lives. All right, I hope you enjoyed. I look forward to hearing your hosafos and ha'aros on the shir. Shkoyach.